Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Keithley v. Buddy Ayers Construction, Incorporated, docket number 25-6, decided June 11, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Thomas Keithley and his wife filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy petition in December 2019, and the bankruptcy court later confirmed a repayment plan based on their disclosures. While that case remained open, Keithley was involved in a car accident with a driver employed by Buddy Ayers Construction, but neither he nor his bankruptcy counsel disclosed the resulting personal injury claim to the bankruptcy court before he sued the company. When Buddy Ayers Construction moved for summary judgment on grounds of judicial estoppel, the district court, relying on Fifth Circuit precedent, held that the omission was not inadvertent because Keithley knew the underlying facts and had a potential motive to conceal the claim, and the Fifth Circuit affirmed. The question presented was whether the doctrine of judicial estoppel can be invoked to bar a plaintiff who fails to disclose a civil claim in bankruptcy filings from pursuing that claim simply because there is a potential motive for non-disclosure, regardless of whether there is evidence that the plaintiff in fact acted in bad faith. The court held, to determine whether an omission of a claim in the bankruptcy context was inadvertent or mistaken for purposes of judicial estoppel, courts should look to the totality of the circumstances surrounding the omission. The Fifth Circuit erred by artificially narrowing its inquiry to whether the debtor had knowledge of the underlying facts or a potential motive to conceal the claim. Justice Jackson delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion, in which Justice Gorsuch joined. Justice Sotomayor filed a concurring opinion. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope it does not impact your listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Keithley v. Buddy Ayers Construction.
After commencing a bankruptcy case, the debtor must disclose his assets to the bankruptcy court to facilitate the creation of an accurate bankruptcy estate. These assets include any claims the debtor has against third parties, regardless of whether those claims have already been filed as part of an active lawsuit. The debtor also avers that he has no relevant assets other than those disclosed. Occasionally, a debtor who has failed to disclose a claim to the bankruptcy court will later attempt to press that claim in court. When that happens, some lower courts have considered whether the lawsuit should be dismissed under the doctrine of judicial estoppel, which generally prevents a party from assuming inconsistent positions in successive litigation. This court has never applied judicial estoppel in the bankruptcy context, but we have suggested in other situations that judicial estoppel may be inapposite, where the inconsistent position was the result of inadvertence or mistake. In this case, the Fifth Circuit applied a follow-on rule that the omission of a claim in the bankruptcy context will be considered inadvertent or a mistake in only two circumstances: when the debtor was unaware of the underlying facts of his claim, or where there was no hypothetical motive to conceal the claim. We reject that approach. To determine whether an omission was inadvertent or mistaken for purposes of judicial estoppel, courts should look to the totality of the circumstances surrounding the omission. Thus, we hold that the Fifth Circuit's less holistic formulation was erroneous. When a debtor files for bankruptcy, a bankruptcy estate is created comprising the debtor's property. That property encompasses all legal or equitable interests of the debtor in property as of the commencement of the bankruptcy case, including pending and unliquidated claims against third parties. As relevant here, for bankruptcy cases proceeding under Chapter 13, the estate also includes property, and therefore claims, that the debtor acquires after the bankruptcy case commences, but before it is closed, dismissed, or converted to a case under another chapter. An accurate bankruptcy estate is necessary for orderly bankruptcy proceedings. Chapter 13 allows a debtor to retain his property if he proposes, and a bankruptcy court confirms a plan for debt repayment over a 3 to 5 year period. Creditors and the trustee who helps administer the bankruptcy proceedings must understand the full scope of the debtor's assets to determine whether to support or object to the proposed repayment plan. The estate also provides valuable information to the bankruptcy court, because the court may confirm the debtor's repayment plan only if the proposed repayments are not less than the amount that would be paid to creditors if the estate were liquidated under Chapter 7. In addition, the value of the estate helps the court evaluate whether to require the debtor to pay creditors back on a more accelerated timeline or with interest. To facilitate the creation of an accurate bankruptcy estate, the Bankruptcy Code imposes disclosure obligations on debtors. For instance, debtors must file bankruptcy schedules listing their property. One such schedule requires debtors to disclose all claims against third parties, whether or not the debtor has filed a lawsuit or made a demand for payment. See Official Form 106AB, Schedule AB. The schedule lists accidents and rights to sue as examples of possible claims. Debtors must swear, under penalty of perjury, that the information provided is true and correct. Thomas Keefley and his wife filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy petition in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Eastern District of Arkansas in December 2019. In April 2020, that court confirmed an amended repayment plan, providing for interest-free repayment of 100% of the creditor's claims over the course of 5 years. In August 2021, Keithley was involved in a car accident in Mississippi with a driver employed by respondent Buddy Ayers Construction, Incorporated. Keithley retained a personal injury attorney and informed his bankruptcy counsel that he intended to sue Buddy Ayers Construction. Even though Keithley's bankruptcy case remained open, neither Keithley nor his bankruptcy counsel disclosed the potential personal injury claims to the bankruptcy court. Keithley then filed the instant personal injury action in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Mississippi in December 2021, asserting claims for negligence against the company. Keithley did not notify the bankruptcy court of the existence of his claims at this point either. In March 2023, Buddy Ayers Construction moved for summary judgment on grounds of judicial estoppel based on Keithley's failure to disclose his personal injury claims in the open bankruptcy proceeding. Keithley immediately filed an amended schedule notifying the bankruptcy court of his personal injury claims. Then, in response to the pending motion for summary judgment in the personal injury suit, Keithley explained that the omission had been inadvertent. In support, he submitted an affidavit attesting that, after he told his bankruptcy counsel about his personal injury claims, he believed he had done everything he needed to do. He also filed an affidavit from his bankruptcy counsel, noting that Keithley received no benefit monetarily or otherwise from the non-disclosure. Based on this evidence, he argued that judicial estoppel was inappropriate. The district court disagreed, relying on Fifth Circuit precedent. The court explained that the omission of a claim on the bankruptcy schedules will be considered the result of inadvertence or mistake only if the debtor did not know the facts underlying the claim, or there was no potential motive to conceal the claim. Applying that rule, the district court found that Keithley concededly knew of the facts underlying his personal injury claims and had a hypothetical motive to conceal. Keithley might have had to pay interest on his debts had the bankruptcy court and creditors known of the personal injury lawsuit. The district court therefore held that Keefley's omission was not inadvertent or a mistake and entered summary judgment for Buddy Ayer's construction based on judicial estoppel. The Fifth Circuit affirmed, relying on the same precedent as the district court. Judge Haynes concurred based on her agreement that Fifth Circuit precedent dictated this outcome, but she expressed doubt that the goals of judicial estoppel were advanced by its application to Keefley's claims, given her view that there was evidence his omission was, in fact, an honest mistake. Judge Haynes further noted that other circuits take a more holistic approach than the Fifth Circuit does when assessing the application of judicial estoppel in the bankruptcy context. Much like the Fifth Circuit, the Tenth Circuit also considers an omission to be inadvertent only if the debtor lacked knowledge of the underlying claim or had no potential motive to conceal the claim. But five other courts of appeals conduct a more fact-specific inquiry and do not so stringently limit the analysis. We granted certiorari to resolve this conflict. Judicial estoppel is an equitable doctrine intended to protect the integrity of the judicial process, both by prohibiting parties from deliberately changing positions according to the exigencies of the moment, and by preventing the risk of inconsistent court determinations. Sometimes, as happened here, a debtor seeks to litigate a claim against a third party that he failed to disclose in his bankruptcy proceedings. Some lower courts apply judicial estoppel to bar such lawsuits, reasoning that application of the doctrine raises the cost of lying and induces debtors to be truthful in their bankruptcy filings. The courts that apply judicial estoppel to claims in the bankruptcy context view the debtor's failure to disclose a particular claim as an implicit representation that the claim does not exist. On this view, when the debtor files a lawsuit based on that claim, he has taken inconsistent positions in the two judicial proceedings by asserting in the civil lawsuit that he has a claim against the defendant while denying under oath in the bankruptcy proceeding that the claim exists. Based on that understanding, those lower courts have developed a general rule for the application of judicial estoppel in the bankruptcy context. If a plaintiff debtor omits a pending or soon to be filed lawsuit from the bankruptcy schedules and obtains a discharge or plan confirmation, judicial estoppel bars the action. While this court has never applied judicial estoppel in the bankruptcy context, in a different context we left open whether it may be appropriate to resist application of judicial estoppel when the party's prior inconsistent position was due to inadvertence or mistake. For purposes of this opinion, we assume, without deciding, that judicial estoppel can apply in the bankruptcy context and that inadvertence or mistake can function as an exception to that application. Operating under those assumptions, the Fifth Circuit's understanding of inadvertence or mistake is simultaneously too rigid and too broad. The rigidity comes from the Fifth Circuit's failure to fully recognize that judicial estoppel is an equitable doctrine. As such, its examination must be made in the light of the recognized principles of equity. Equity, we have said, eschews mechanical rules. It depends on flexibility. Thus, when a court conducts an equitable inquiry, it must act on a case-by-case basis, considering all relevant facts and circumstances. In other words, equitable doctrines require room to consider all of the particulars. By contrast, the Fifth Circuit's rule allows courts to consider only two circumstances when assessing inadvertence or mistake, whether the debtor knew of the underlying facts of the claim, and whether there was a potential motive to conceal the claim. And under this rule, a court may not look at any other evidence tending to show that the omission was inadvertent. That rigidity is out of step with equity. To determine whether the omission was inadvertent or a mistake, the Fifth Circuit instead should have examined the totality of the circumstances surrounding Keefley's failure to report his personal injury claims earlier. See, for example, Ah Quinn. Rather than applying a presumption of deceit, judicial estoppel requires an inquiry into whether the plaintiff's bankruptcy filing was, in fact, inadvertent or mistaken, as those terms are commonly understood. The Fifth Circuit's rule is not only overly rigid, it is also overly broad. In particular, the Fifth Circuit holds that an omission falls outside of the exception any time a debtor knows certain facts or could potentially benefit from non-disclosure of a claim, but it is rare for a debtor to be unaware of the underlying facts of his claim, and a debtor will almost always hypothetically benefit from not revealing such a claim to his creditors. In essence, then, the Fifth Circuit's approach is a one-size-fits-all test that requires courts to view as purposeful nearly every bankruptcy omission. Indeed, the decision below acknowledged as much, noting that, under Fifth Circuit precedent, the potential motive element is almost always met if a debtor fails to disclose a claim or possible claim to the bankruptcy court. The overbreadth of the Fifth Circuit's rule, the fact that it almost always is satisfied, makes it patently incompatible with an inadvertence or mistake standard, which suggests that circumstances and outcomes may vary. A near dispositive criterion is a poor fit for a fair inquiry into whether an omission is actually the result of inadvertence or mistake. Today's decision is straightforward. The Fifth Circuit artificially narrowed its inquiry into whether Keithley's bankruptcy schedule omission was the result of inadvertence or mistake by assessing only whether he had knowledge of the underlying facts or a potential motive to conceal his personal injury suit. That was error. Accordingly, we vacate the judgment of the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit and remand the case for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.